Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty once again with Climate Talk for Radio Tacoma, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully and almost always optimistically. How optimistic could I be given the current condition of our climate challenges? Well, my optimism is simple. We know what the problem is. We have the tools to fix it. We know how to fix it, and that's the cause for my optimism. All that's lacking is the political will to make it happen. We're talking about a couple things today. One of them is the United States Postal Service's recent truck purchase. The other is a net zero report that just recently came out from Princeton University that sketches out for us. Primarily, my interest in this one is lives that can be saved, premature deaths that can be prevented by switching from fossil fuels to clean energy. So we'll take a look at each in its turn. Okay, about the United States Postal Service truck buy. We're all familiar with those white and blue trucks with the driver sitting on the opposite side we normally do, going around our communities, dropping our mail in the mailbox. Those vehicles have been around for like forever, and they're at the end of their life. There's some limitations, some shortcomings of those trucks, as you might imagine, especially as they come to the end of their lives. There are gas guzzlers, even just roaming around town, going 5 miles an hour. They burn 10. They're only getting 10 miles to the gallon, so not so good. They need to be replaced in any case. And here's an opportunity to make a major step forward with electric vehicles. You know, transportation pollution is one of the primary sources of greenhouse gases. So here's a great opportunity. Well, unfortunately, the United States Postal Service has recently entered into a contract to buy 165,000 vehicles over the life of the contract. And 90% of those vehicles are going to be gasoline powered. 10% are going to be electrically powered. So a major loss. Those vehicles are going to be in service. Those gas burning vehicles are going to be in service for 15 to 20 years. And a large chunk, as I've said, of fossil fuel emissions comes from those kind of vehicles. So it seems like the worst possible choice they could have made. I know the contracts like that are complicated, but switching from gasoline to electric on vehicles are going to last for 15 or 20 years is not complicated. So really, it's time to contact your elected representatives and tell them how concerned you are about this buy. I personally could care less about what company makes these vehicles. Of course, that's a big deal for the folks that are squabbling over the contract, but for us as regular folks out here breathing the air and living in the environment, where they're made is not so important as what fuel they're going to be burning. So contact your representative and senator. And by the way, that's easy enough to do. You can just do a Google search, who's my elected representative, and you'll be able to figure it out right away. And it's non-threatening when you get through to them on the phone. If you do a phone call, you're probably going to get their message service. Just leave your thoughts and they'll appreciate getting those. Actually, the number one choice amongst elected representatives, broadly speaking, is email. And there's reasons for that. One of them is that they can save them up. They can tally them up more easily. And the other one is if they want to forward your email to somebody in their staff or some other source, they can do that easily. So make a call or send an email. Let them know that you think that this is just a bad idea to buy all those trucks for the United States Postal Service that are gasoline powered. Not cool. Okay, let's talk about premature deaths. There's recently been, and by that I mean premature deaths from fossil fuel pollution. You know, we tend to focus on climate change, but fossil fuel emissions carry another big cost with them besides those huge costs of climate change, and those costs are in the cost of health issues, primarily from the small particles that come along with those fuels, but also other kinds of pollution that affect people's health, especially people who are vulnerable in some way, asthmatics or somebody who's old. And of course, we know that people who are least well-equipped to deal with those kind of things are the people who are living closest to freeways, industrial areas, where that kind of pollution is common. So Princeton University recently put out a study called Net Zero America. You can do a Google on that and dig into it if you like. It's comprehensive, it's deep, and it's talking about the next 30 years and what we're going to have to do if we're going to get ourselves out of this mess that we're in with burning fossil fuels. So according to the study, there are 8 million people a year worldwide who die prematurely from fossil fuel pollution. And in the United States alone, they quote a study that shows that we've had about 50,000 premature deaths per year from fossil fuel pollution. And those are the deaths, of course. It also comes with a very significant financial cost. That's $445 billion a year in economic damage annually. So just a quick aside here. One of the problems with the fossil fuel pollution issue is that the fossil fuel companies are profiting from their sales of fuels. That's the way our system works. But a big chunk of the reason why they're profiting and why they can be such a gigantic industry as they are is that they are passing off some of the costs of their productive activities to us out here, those of us who don't really have any way of protecting ourselves. And I'm talking about the 50,000 a year premature deaths and the $445 billion in economic damage that burning of fossil fuels is causing. So I'm going to quote here just a second from the study. It says, the study also concludes that a successful net zero transition could be accomplished with annual spending on energy that is comparable or lower as a percentage of GDP to what the nation spends annually on energy today. So some of the pushback that comes from the industry and other similar sources regarding switching to a clean energy economy is, well, that's going to cost so much. We can't afford to do that. Well, that's not true. It may cost the fossil fuel industry, but for the rest of the economy, for us as ordinary folks out here breathing the air, it is going to be pretty much of a wash. The new jobs that are created, the infrastructure that's built, the additional power lines, and so on, according to this study, which I believe is a carefully done and thoughtful and a rational study, the costs are going to be about the same. And at the same time, we end up with a much cleaner environment. We end up with a stable climate and good breathable air, clean water, non-acidifying ocean, and so on and so forth. They do say, and this is abundantly clear, that an immediate large-scale mobilization of capital policy and societal commitment is going to be required to accomplish this. And they're talking about $2.5 trillion in additional capital investment into energy supply, industry, buildings, and vehicles. You know, a lot of projects cost more up front, whereas money is saved over time. And I believe this is one of those situations. If we bite the bullet and we invest what we need to invest now, then longer term, we're going to be way ahead. You know, the old commercial where the guy used to say, you can pay me now or pay me later. Well, the longer we kick the can down the road, the more it's going to cost us. So let's take this on. So when was the best time to plant a tree? 30 years ago. When was the best time to transition to clean environment? Well, that was 30 years ago too, but we haven't done that. And so that's why we're stuck with a kind of an emergency situation, 30 years to get her done. And that's only if we really roll up our sleeves, get to work, make it happen. We've only got 30 years left to go on that. And we're already seeing the impacts of climate change right here in Washington State. Most recently, the heat wave that we all lived through, a heat wave that's only supposed to happen every 1,000 years or so, and they're becoming more and more common, not only here, but all over the world. And just as an aside, they're one of the primary causes of premature death, too, in terms of things that are the result of climate change. Well, we can be happy to an extent that Washington State has pledged to be net zero in carbon dioxide emissions by 2050. And we've done that via statute, so it's in the law. Of course, it's a pledge, and whether we get there or not certainly remains to be seen. And I'm amongst the folks that say, okay, well, you're going to have to show me that one. I do think we can be thankful. At the same time, we need to keep pressure on our elected representatives to make sure that we follow through with that and we do the stuff that we have to do to get there. There are only four other states in the United States who have made via statute that pledge to be net zero by 2050. I believe there are six or so others that have said the same thing. via executive order. Of course, executive orders are fine, but they don't have the durability, usually, of statutes. We see executive orders coming and going like somebody's laundry. So we can take some satisfaction that we live in a state where we do have elected representatives who are taking climate change seriously. But there are lots of states where that's not true, and so here's what I'm going to suggest to you about that one. We can work to elect representatives in other states who also take climate change seriously. There's lots of great organizations. You can do a search on the internet for Get Out the Vote. That's primarily the way that we're going to get climate-aware people elected, is by getting folks out. The more folks that vote, typically, the more likely it is that the elected representatives are going to be folks who take climate change seriously. So I'm thinking of organizations like League of Women Voters, Rock the Vote. That's an organization that's focused primarily on younger voters. Younger voters tend not to vote a lot, but they also tend to have their heads on pretty straight in terms of what's what when it comes to politics. So Rock the Vote, an organization to support. And got a couple others here, but when I say support, you know, certainly we can support them with a check. That's easily enough done. Just write out a check or go on the internet and support these organizations financially. But most of these organizations also have stuff that you can do. If you want to do some hands-on stuff, you can do it right from home. That doesn't require you to spend any money, and it gives you the satisfaction of putting in sweat equity into the program. I will tell you, I've done some of this stuff. It's not particularly fun, other than knowing that you're doing something good for the environment. It's like a lot of politics. The rock that politics sits on is just hard, boring work. Okay, other organizations. There's a organization called Voter Participation Center, and there's another one called Vote.org. So one of my favorites is Environmental Voter Project. They find environmentalists across the United States and make sure that they vote in every election. There's an oddity there that folks that are concerned about the environment tend to not vote as much as the larger society does. Why that is, I don't know, but it's an effort where you can sit down and handwrite a note to folks saying, hey, I'm voting in this next election, and hope you do too. It makes a difference. They've done some data studies that have shown that they get about 1 or 2% more folks out to vote than without their work, and that's enough to swing a lot of elections. So take a look at all of that. So just to sum up here, let's talk to our elected representatives about that USPS, United States Postal Service, buy of 165,000 vehicles, most of which are gasoline powered. We don't want that. We want electric vehicles on the road. We don't want more air pollution. We want less air pollution. And just really important to get elected representatives in terms of saving lives and reducing the impacts of fossil fuel emissions. There's work to be done there. So I enjoy talking to you about this stuff. I enjoy receiving your emails. You can contact me via email at john@cclTacoma.org. That CCL stands for Citizens Climate Lobby. Full disclosure, I am an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a good outfit. Take a look at it on the internet and join up with some local folks and work towards making a difference. Well, we can change our own personal behaviors, but you know, that's important. But really, we need to join with like-minded people to go to work to see if we can make a difference in the climate. So that's it for today. Here I am reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care and help.